E2.
Number 18B.
So you get the sense. Also, I said if the argument is that the situation is incurable, that the situation is not cannot find a solution, that there is an impossibility in the situation, that Nahum comes and says, all is possible. There is no situation which cannot be healed and tackled. And gives a mighty, mighty message of the power of the Lord that will break down, through the seventh synonymous term, every kind of resistance. Yes, so Israel will be preserved in spite of the belief in the tenacity of error. The idea will be preserved, yes. And theoretically, as the word, we very often acknowledge that, because we know it, that's a teaching, so the statement of it is that the idea will be preserved, that the remnant will remain, that there will always be a remnant. And then you know exactly which argument creeps up in our mind, namely, it creeps up an argument which says, yes, I believe that, but I don't experience it. Yes, that's theory, but not practice. And that's exactly what Habakkuk was saying. He said also at the beginning of his prophecy, he also said, yes, I believe that God is powerful and the God of Israel is more powerful than the gods of Assyria. But if I look into the universe, into history, he can see, but I can see how that strong army of Babylon comes and is victorious. And Israel loses step by step, and it just gives a picture how the evidence before the material senses are testifying to the very contrary. Through those first, second, and third synonymous term, mind, spirit, and soul, he shows that error is more powerful and that there is no sense testimony that would substantiate or sustain that theory, that the idea is bigger than any error. And as he looks at that from the point of view of the physical sense testimony and just sees that error is stronger than the idea, he is called to go on the watchtower, to rise in consciousness above that level of mortal mind thinking, of over that level of physical sense testimony, and rise in the consciousness. And as he rises in the consciousness, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me, what he, God, will say unto me. So it is that turning point where the prophet is looking away from the sense testimony and is turning to God and is listening to what God tells him. And at that moment, that's at the point of principle, he turns and then he looks out and sees life, truth, and love from the watchtower, and sees from the watchtower really that God is more powerful than the whole of Nineveh. And he sees that and it becomes to him conviction, but still he complains that he doesn't see the outward evidence, the material evidence of his spiritual evidence. And there is no solution in Habakkuk about that, because at the end he still says, he still can see the devastation of the land. He says, though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Can you see the devastation still? And then he says, yet. You can see, he turns, he says, now, this is physical sense testament. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And he ends with that. Can you see, he ends only with one thing, not with what we would call a demonstration. He ends with a spiritual evidence against the material evidence. He sees still materially the devastation, but he has gone on the watchtower and could see that from the watchtower, though he can see the devastation, he rejoices in the Lord. He can see the promise of it. He's no more worried about the physical testimony. That's all what he says. He brings no physical harmony, the demonstration of physical harmony. He only brings in, really, the harmony of spiritual sense and inner conviction. So that's Habakkuk. Can you see what he does? What has been accomplished? There again we have how the Lord, the Christ, comes to him. And it came to him to say, go on the watchtower and listen there to what God tells to you. And what he told him was that the idea will be preserved, though he couldn't see it. So he had an enforcement of retranslation of his standpoint, only of his standpoint, not yet of the final demonstration was being brought about. So actually we would see that he could, because he didn't give the final answer, there must be someone coming along who gives the final answer. And Zephaniah comes along and he gives that answer. Why does he give that answer? Can you see again the horizontal, the next one, would show the disappearance of evil and the appearance of good made inescapable. That's what you have in your matrix in Christianity. So Zephaniah must show something more than Habakkuk. It must show that even the testimony of the physical senses must yield to the actual demonstration of spiritual reality, so that even with the physical senses he can no more see evil, that the healthy picture is shown to him. And so it needs a lot of that sense again, like in Amos, of destroying. He's really the prophet of the day of judgment. You can hear that the day of the Lord is a day of trouble. That's his rendering, that the day of the Lord is a day of trouble, meaning it's a day of trouble for error. Error gets now into trouble at this point. With Habakkuk, error didn't get into trouble because Nineveh was still victorious. But here with Zephaniah, error gets into trouble because of the Lord, because of the Christ. In the day of the Lord, all evil is utterly consumed. And you have a whole list of these words that go right through, which indicate Christianity as destruction, destruction, destruction. He uses terms like that evil and error will be utterly consumed, cut off, cut down, make desolate, devour, drive out, root up, destroy, spoil, slay, make waste, take away. Can you hear? A whole list of synonymous terms just for one thing, to bring out that Christianity sense of the obliteration of error, of the complete obliteration of error. So that with Zephaniah, he starts right in and says, but the Lord will come to every idea and will take care of every idea by destroying everything that is not of the nature of idea. And it will destroy it and root it out and cut it down and make it desolate and so on. So that at the end of Zephaniah, you just have one picture, a glorious picture of the abundance of life. He has cast out thine enemy, thou shalt not see evil anymore. Hence is that complete wiping out. Habakkuk could see evil, though he knew that it was not from the Lord and that it was not real. But Zephaniah could come to the point where he saw no more evil will come unto him. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. You just end with a great hymn of glorification. Isn't it terrific? You know, that's how it goes on. You see, you have a whole story, starting with Nahum, starting out with that proposition which each one of us has. He's faced with a situation which is called impossible, which is called tenacious, which is called that it cannot be healed, incurable, things like that, so that it always shows that the idea is not complete. And so Nahum first comes in and says, this is rubbish. There is actually a power at work that will save every idea, that is bigger than every error, so that the idea, Israel, cannot be conquered. Just that. Just telling that there is such a fact. Then Habakkuk comes and says, yes, I accept that theory, but I don't see it. I don't experience it. I never can see a proof of it. Like many come along and say, I love Christian Science, but I never had a healing in it. I love Christian Science, but it has never worked for me. You hear that all over. That's the Habakkuk. The Habakkuk that says, yes, I love Christian Science, but it never works for me. I just can't see how the armies of Nineveh and Assyria just come and tread down everything and the land lays waste, and all I can see is just devastation. But he had one step further, namely that he went on the watchtower, and that he said, I'm not going to look at the situation. I'm going to listen what the Lord has to say. So he began to listen spiritually, and that's that, not more than that. Then Zephaniah comes along and says, you should go a step further. You should see that there is no more error coming along, that there is no more evil at work. You should really see that the idea wipes out every illusion, that the idea is within itself so complete that it can no more contain any error. Therefore, all error is wiped out, yes? But Ezekiel felt that there should be something more to that in order to bring out the idea in its fullness, the Christ idea. And so Ezekiel is the young prophet, the scientific mind prophet. It's interesting, among those 16 prophets were two young prophets, and both had a scientific mind, the Ezekiel and then Zechariah, and they both give us the science of the whole story. Ezekiel, he's the master metaphysician, the master mathematician, the master geometrician, the master calculator. It really shows that the idea that is preserved is that man is a calculus. And he depicts first the seven and shows how we can culture the 7 days of creation. He shows the method of how to culture the 7 days of creation. Then he shows that those 7 days of creation are actually showing the four, as we have seen it a few days ago, that those four are constantly operating like wheels within the wheels, that they combine their categories, that the categories are not separated, that the wheels are within the wheels and they operate together. And he's just a terrific man in computing every idea he can perceive. That's why you go through pages and pages where he doesn't give anything else but measurements and measurements and numbers and measurements and numbers and measurements. And he measures every tower, he measures every wall, he measures every little tower, and he measures every gate and every door and every window. And he measures everything what you can think of in that city. He just gives a perfect picture of what it means to have a system, to have a structure, that system is a calculus, that it is a calculus wherein there is movement, the wheels within the wheel, and that we can learn, that's his great point, that we can learn that calculus. He not only shows, like the other major prophet, that there must be understanding, but his great point is that each one can learn to be the calculus of being. And it's just a matter of being able, his symbolism, to a great extent, in order to see that story. Yes. So that is Ezekiel. How many minutes? Well, I don't want to start with the last column, because that takes more time than what is left just for the moment. But I think you could see how we really see the consistency of the message. All right, I think we leave it at that.